we opened Masterpiece Cake Shop back in 1993, we knew there would be many cakes that we wouldn't be able to create.
Colorado baker Jack Phillips talking about his presentation at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago.
Cakes that were anti-American, contained profanity, or denigrated other people, including people who identify as LGBT. The cake that took us to the Supreme Court was a cake with a view of marriage that was opposed to the biblical teaching that I believe, and as a follower of Jesus, I can't go against it. But it's always the message of the cake, never the person asking for the cake.
You can meet and hear Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop making the case for the freedom of conscience at this year's Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org. I think there is a little bit of momentum building on both sides. The jump on the momentum was obviously on the part of cultural Marxism. It kind of caught us by surprise. All of a sudden, in the middle of a global pandemic, we are dealing with, at least in kind of the more public sense, the more popular sense, we're dealing with a philosophy that has already taken academia by storm. It has been basically the orthodoxy of liberal academia for decades, but it popped off the campus and it made it into the streets. Our politicians, with, well, some exceptions, decided to adopt it whole hog, all of its vocabulary, all of its ideas, without even really examining it. And now there's a little pushback against cultural Marxism. It's often taking place at the local level where it needs to be taking place. But how do we respond as Christians to this wave? Is it a fad, a political fad? Perhaps, I hope it is, but this wave of cultural Marxism. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on cultural Marxism continues. We're going to be talking about reactions to the critique of cultural Marxism. Pastor Paul Dare joins us. He's senior pastor of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota, and he recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, welcome back.
Todd, it's very good to be here.
Several weeks ago, Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot sent a letter, and it read in part, "By now you may have heard the news that on the occasion of the 2-year anniversary of my inauguration as mayor of this great city, I will be exclusively providing one-on-one interviews with journalists of color." It caused a bit of a firestorm. You say that this is an example of cultural Marxism. How so?
Yeah, this is really an outstanding and I would say great learning moment to just understand how it plays out in society here. You know, she indicated that she would have interviews with people of color and specifically also stated that due to the, quote, overwhelming whiteness and maleness of the press corps, that it was her job as mayor to address the lack of diversity. And that's why she was doing it. So she was specifically then excluding then a group of people. Now, so how does all this work? Well, in the world of cultural Marxism, again, remember, everybody is divided into two categories. You are either an oppressor or you are oppressed. And your status in one of those two categories is based upon, amongst other things, your gender, your skin color, your sexual orientation, your religion, these sorts of things. So you might, for instance, be a racist, not because of anything that you've done, not because of anything that you've thought. You'll be in the category of a racist oppressor simply by virtue of the color of your skin. Or you might be an oppressor because of your gender. So, again, in the words, her own words, Lori Lightfoot's own words, she felt it was her job to address the, quote, overwhelming whiteness and maleness of the press corps. So you might look at this, and from a traditional viewpoint, people would say, well, wait a minute, if you're excluding people based upon their skin color or their gender, that's what we call racism. And that's what we call sexism. this is something that we simply don't do. And you take a look at this and you might think, how can a mayor of one of the great cities of America actually say this and somehow even keep her job, that someone would actually do this? Well, again, in the world of cultural Marxism, you are assigned, if you will, sins based upon your skin color, gender, religion, so on and so forth, but you're also absolved of your sins if then your skin color, gender, religion, etc., puts you in an oppressed category. So Lori Lightfoot actually falls into then the oppressed categories. As a woman who is black, she's the first openly gay mayor of Chicago. So she falls into the oppressed category and in many ways is absolved of these things. And this is kind of how this economy of cultural Marxism works, that you look at this, you know, how could you possibly say this? But again, there's two different definitions of racism. The one that most people grew up with, the one that I would suggest is biblical, and then there is the one of cultural Marxism. And that's the one that's being applied to this particular situation. Now, she has been criticized, to be sure. There's no doubt about that. But I would suggest if we were to flip this whole thing around for her to even keep her job, there's no way in the world that would happen. There's a couple other points I'd like to make on this, because you actually learn a lot about how cultural Marxism works by this particular incident. So, for instance, one of the things we learned is that cultural Marxists are absolutely great with language. They use absolutely wonderful-sounding words that people, I think, naturally want to be. The problem is the words they use don't actually mean what they say. So, for instance, she is doing this, Lori Lightfoot, in the name of diversity. Okay, so she wants to do diversity. But what's not said in this is that she is going to impose the diversity. This is how it is going to be. We are going to make this thing diverse. And if you are in then the oppressor category, too bad for you. So being diverse means that, in this case, you're going to treat people unfairly. You know, they use words like inclusion. But in this particular case, if you look at this, she is specifically excluding certain people. Same thing with words like social justice. It sounds nice, but what social justice means is that you're actually going to practice injustice, that is, once again, treating people unfairly. And anti-racism, these are all the words that are used. Sounds good. Who wants to be a racist? We need to be anti-racist. But what anti-racism really means is, again, the same thing, that we're actually going to treat people unfairly based upon their race. And that's one of the things you actually see in her own words and how this plays out. It sounds good. It appeals to people because these are the things that people want to be, but the words don't actually mean what they say. And I guess then the other part that you'll see here is you'll see some buzzwords in here like equity and equality. These are a couple words that you might see like on football fields. You see equity, equality, jerseys of sports. These are a couple big, you know, words of the day. And what do these words mean? Well, equality means that each individual or group of people is given the same resources, you have the same opportunities, you have equal opportunity. But in the cultural Marxist world, what they're really looking for is equity, which recognizes that each person has different circumstances. And so then what we're going to do is we're going to treat people differently, all right, equitably, to achieve equality, equality of outcome. Is what we're looking for. And that's one of the big things, again, that's lost. If you will, cultural Marxists, I'll put it another way, that equity is the mechanism to then achieve the equality. And equity means to treat people differently. And then one other thing that I'll add to this here is, again, just a reminder, something I talked about a while back, is that when people use the word racism today, that there really are two different definitions. There's the idea that racism, that, again, a lot, I think, people grew up with, the one that I would suggest is biblical, is that animus or judging people by the color of their skin. You know, their worth will be determined by the color of their skin. You know, these sorts of things. That's racism. That's evil. That's sin. But in the world of cultural Marxism, it's a system. And it's a system in which you are assigned a category, either, again, oppressed or oppressor. And if your skin identifies you as an oppressor and you don't work against the system of which you're part of as an oppressor and become an anti-racist, then you'll be a racist in the world of cultural Marxism, no matter what you think, no matter what you do, all of those things. If you will, it assigns sins to you that you may not have. You've got plenty of them, to be sure, but it assigns sins to you that you may not have ever thought, you may not have ever spoken, or you may not have ever done.
We're talking with Pastor Paul Dare about cultural Marxism. We'll get the bigger context of Marxism next. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We confess that the church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic, and yet, as we look at the church here in 2021, it hardly seems one holy, Catholic, apostolic church. How do we come to grips with this reality? Is the church one? How is she united? How do we look to her head, Jesus Christ? Well, this question and many others are discussed in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness. It's all about the church. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness and visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're devoted to our Lutheran confession and committed to strong academics. Please encourage your child, grandchild, or godchild to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
We're discussing cultural Marxism with Pastor Paul Dare of Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. This is Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I can assure you that cultural Marxism will be addressed at the 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, July 23rd and 24th in Chicago. Speakers include journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway, law professor Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Colorado Baker Jack Phillips, and others. Registration is $150 and includes three meals. Don't wait to register. Attendance is limited. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call Lutheran Public Radio 618-223-8385. The 2021 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th. Pastor Dare, how does all of this we've been discussing, these reactions to the critique of cultural Marxism, fit into the Marxist kind of big picture of history as an endless cycle of oppression and counter-oppression and then counter-counter-oppression?
Yeah, you know, this is one of the fascinating parts about Marxism and the like, is that it never, I think people know, you know, historically, it never actually works. And one of the problems is that the people who then talk about, you know, that we're oppressed, what happens is that they typically become oppressors. So if you, again, go back to this story, this is actually a kind of a classic, like, small illustration of what can happen on a societal level. So Lori Lightfoot is in the, you know, in her own mind and heart, this oppressed category. But now what she's doing, that she has power, is she's going to impose a new order. In other words, whether she can see it or not, now she is becoming the oppressor. And this is what happens, historically speaking, when it comes to Marxism, that the folks that see themselves as oppressed once they have that power, and this, by the way, is what Marxism is. It's couched in all these nice words. It's for the little guy, if you will, but at its heart, it's loveless, and it's actually just about power. And that's why I picked out this little story and the words that were part of it, because it's a microcosm of what can happen then on a societal level, and I shouldn't say what can happen, but what has happened at various places at points throughout history.
So why have you found it necessary to teach your laity about cultural Marxism? This is, I think you're on what, round three or something like that, of a class that you're conducting with your laity.
Yeah, a couple here, and then there's, then I was up at a men's retreat for a little bit as well, and then there's another series that's coming up that I'm helping another church with. And this is kind of interesting here. I'm going to mention this. Another pastor called, and he just put up in the bulletin without any documentation about what the Bible study is going to be about exactly. He just gave it a title that said, I think it was called Waking Up to Woke, and I hope I'm quoting this pastor correctly, but he had 40 people sign up on a Sunday. And that's the level of interest that's there on this. So why is this here? Well, I would just ask, and I'll talk to the pastors here for just a bit, if this is the singular most dominant ideology of today that everybody is talking about, and I would say the secular world is talking about. If you have 20 states right now that are taking up legislation or have taken up legislation to address critical race theory, which is part of cultural Marxism, all right, it's its main teaching, that means to say that the state is aware that this is a problem. At least some states would call this a problem. If you were to take a look at yesterday, former President Obama has actually weighed into this, and the former president himself said this is the issue of the day. All right, so if that's the issue of the day, it seems to me that as pastors, we need to be paying attention to it because it's an ideology that's here. And the question is that ideology impacting people? And I don't know how it couldn't be. If you have your folks who are scared to speak at work, that seems to be a pastoral issue. If you care that your children or grandchildren at school are either being taught that they are racist and being filled with shame, or that they are oppressed and being filled with anger, whether they're living perfectly happy lives or not, that to me is a pastoral issue. It's affecting the conscience of a person. It's dividing people against one another based upon things like those things that we look at. Again, gender and race are probably at the top of the list. I mean, if we care that a justice system may not judge people or a case based on its merits, but simply judge a case by a group identity, and those sorts of things creep in there, is that something that we as pastors and a church and a people care about? And so I get this here, and I teach this, and one of the reactions I get is, Pastor, now I can see it everywhere, and this is a problem. Especially, I think, as it relates, most people are concerned about schools and what this is doing, especially to kids. But they see it in the news, TV shows, commercials, and they go, I get it. And that's something I think that we have to have out there and how it's impacting people. Because there really are a lot of different reactions. Anything from anger that we want to address and remind people that we want to love and that God's love for people through us, that people are created and redeemed by God and Jesus Christ, and that has a major impact on how we address this as pastors. You know, if your people are becoming angry at this, again, that's another another issue that I think we want to talk to and speak to.
So if you would, describe some of the particular reactions that you have received from laity as they have both educated you and you've educated them on cultural Marxism.
Yeah, and I really like the way you put that on how they've educated me too, and telling me stories from either work or school. And those have just been, man, if I could just speak to pastors for a second, if you would just engage some folks in conversation, I think you'd find a lot of this. They may use different words. They may not actually call it cultural Marxism in the training. They won't. They'll use different words like, diversity and social justice will be at the top of the list. And critical race theory is used openly, but you just got to listen for those kinds of words. But number one, let's start with the negative. I'll start with the negative first. There is anger and frustration, and I understand that, because if you're in a conversation with somebody and the conversation begins with, yeah, let's sit down and talk, and before we do, just please know that you're a racist. Well, wait a minute. We haven't even had a chance to talk yet here. And so you're already on the defensive, and people just have this thought that I've been getting from folks that just say, it's not fair. This isn't fair. And they feel like they're behind the eight ball and defensive before anything's happened. So we have that, and that, again, has to be addressed, I would suggest, with this old-fashioned thing that God has given us called love and forgiveness, and to understand and to engage with folks nonetheless. The answer, God's love is shown through us. It's for each and every soul, and let's start there. Can we talk about that? There is a fear and a hopelessness that I have heard, like, what's the point? If I'm already labeled this, there's no point. Well, no. Then you want to remember things like the parable of the sower and the seed. And Jesus, had in the parable that the seed is even going to get sown on the path where it may not look like any seed could take root, but the growth, that's God's. Don't be hopeless with this. Let's actually just take what God has given us and let's share this with the world. And I will make a comment here. There are some people who are really deep into the cultural Marxism or the wokeism, almost like a cult. And something I did see with that is, if someone's really deep into it, your best hope is to, in essence, and this is the word a speaker I heard use, love bomb them. Sometimes when a person's like in a cult, if you've ever seen anything like that, that is a very challenging situation. And sometimes the best solution is just this persistent, unending love, and that might be a solution there. But to think it's hopeless when we have our God, nope, let's move on from that one. But on the other hand, again, there's a tremendous level of interest. What is this? This is what's out there. What is this all about? And we have to educate, as to what the dangers are, and also then the possibilities as well. That's there. Okay, so you get that fear, that anger, but you also have this interest, you have this understanding, you get a preparedness of things to say and not say, and those are all beautiful things.
Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. We're talking about cultural Marxism and reactions to the critique of cultural Marxism. On the other side, what kind of stories is he hearing from his laity? Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. You can promote your confessional Lutheran church and support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by becoming a congregational sponsor. When your church pledges $1,000, we'll publicize your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Learn more on the support donate page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Become an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll continue feasting our way through 1 Corinthians with the Lord's command, "Woe to me, a servant of all," disciplining the body, and that rock was Christ. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
St. Paul Lutheran School of Hamel, Illinois is the only classical Lutheran school in Greater St. Louis. We're looking for a first and second grade teacher for the 2021-2022 school year. We pay 100% salary scale for the Southern Illinois District of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Other benefits include full health care coverage, retirement and disability, and continuing education assistance. For more information, email jeff@issuesetc.org. jeff@issuesetc.org.
Is your school or homeschool ready to take the next step in teaching students with learning challenges? We can help. The Simply Classical curriculum, voted number one for special learners, is available from Memoria Press for students with autism, learning disabilities, or Down syndrome. We provide everything you need for a full year. Use promo code LPR21 at simplyclassical.com. simplyclassical.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series on cultural Marxism. We're talking about reactions to a critique of cultural Marxism. Pastor Paul Dare is our guest. Pastor Dare, what kind of stories are you hearing from your laity in the course of these conversations without naming names?
That's interesting that you asked that, Todd. One of the reactions I also had that I had sort of in my notes was fear, because we've always had to be in these Bible studies, a lot of them have gone online, very careful what exactly we say. It's been very careful who will raise their hand, as opposed to coming and talking to me after the Bible study and say, this is what happened. And this is across the employment spectrum. I mean, I'm talking private companies, national companies, public service. Without a doubt, the biggest stories, and this is the most interesting thing. In fact, this is just great. Todd, yesterday, I give you a little insight into the personal life of Pastor Dare. Yesterday, we were just trying to get some stuff out of the garage, and a gentleman bought an old desk that we had, and I just struck up a conversation in the driveway, and sure enough, this fellow was a teacher. I don't need to say exactly where he was from. I can't say he's out of town. But we were just chatting, found out that he moved his own daughter out of public school, even though he was still teaching there, and he was telling me about the training. The schools, without a doubt, the teachers, they're the ones that are getting it maybe, if you will, the worst. And he was talking about the training and just all the things that we've been talking about. You have to see yourself as an oppressor. And you have to figure out how it is that you are oppressing your students by virtue of who you are, and how you have to look inside. And he said, you know, this is only getting worse. This is only getting more. This is a majority of the professional training that we get over the summertime. So, I mean, this is, the teachers seem to have the most. And I think I mentioned it before as well. I mean, I had another teacher where the professional training was sitting in a room pondering your sexuality and the privilege of your sexuality and how that impacts what you do. And to think, I can't imagine actually sitting through that without standing up and just walking out or having words or something like that. But the teachers know that if they do this, they're toast, which is why I think parents need to really stand up. Next week, I'm actually attending a seminar on the things going on in the schools and seeing what kind of resources are available there. But it's in the other businesses as well. And the folks have various reactions. Everything from, I put my head down and doodle and pretend it's not happening, to, you know, there was one guy who raised his hand, you know, and asked a question but was summarily dismissed. But most of the time, the stories I hear are, and I don't dare say a word. And that's where things are at.
Are they hoping it will go away, that it's a human resources fad and that they won't have to deal with it? Or do they by and large realize that sooner or later they're on a collision course as a Christian with this woke ideology?
Yeah, I think that varies from person to person, how much they've studied it and looked at it. And one of the points that I've at least been trying to say lately is in regard to courage, which is part of this study, that the longer we go without showing courage, the more of it we're going to need. And I'm thankful that there are people, and you're starting to hear stories of people standing up to it, you know, that it, and even some states are doing this. But I'd also want to believe that as Christians, we'd want to, if you will, really engage in this and start taking a lead, because this is something that's no friend of the Christian faith by any stretch of the imagination.
One thing we have discovered, and this is occasionally in the news, we'll hear about a group of parents in a particular school district, or maybe even just in a particular school, who will stand up at a school board meeting or some similar gathering, and they discover their strength in numbers. If a dozen of them are objecting to this, they're taken more seriously by the powers that be than if it's just one person who might be portrayed as kind of a one-off.
Yeah, the one crazy person that's against this, the one crazy racist. Now, I actually had a great story on this that I was looking at the other day, that there was a woke crowd that was really, and they very often use the social media very effectively. And they did some work, and they discovered it was a total of 11 people who were accosting this one particular school board. And only one of those 11 people actually were in then this particular school or had a kid there. And then what happened is that dozens of parents showed up opposed to critical race theory and the wokeism, and it really did demonstrate the difference. And thankfully then the voices of those in favor of just a traditional education, they were heard, and that was a great thing. And that's one of those, I think, examples where, as Christians, we're not alone, and it's time to start looking at this. And I think I've said this before, but I really believe ground zero is it's the schools, actually. That's where I think we really need to be looking at and need to be active and present.
Do individual congregations, often we want to jump to the large organization, like maybe our denomination should say something about this, which is not unneeded, but should individual congregations in their local communities, either as separate congregations or perhaps even together, craft a statement where they say, we as a congregation oppose the implementation of this cultural Marxism anywhere in our community, be it employers, schools, wherever it may be found. We oppose this for the following biblical reasons, and make statements like that.
I think it absolutely is something that's necessary, and to understand that there are a lot of churches that may be on the other side of this that do. I mean, I know here in town there are churches that offer the, quote, anti-racist training and the like. And, you know, again, that sounds good. And let me repeat, just so it's said over and over again, racism is a horrible scourge on God's creation and his work of redemption in Christ. It's absolutely awful. It's a sin. But, you know, to understand that, yeah, there are churches out there that are pushing, probably unknowingly, this Marxist ideology. And I think it's time then, you know, we have a history in our church of some quietism, that to look at this and to say, hey, let's look at what this is doing to people's conscience, to their children, to the society that God has given to us here, and to say something.
Finally, next time in our Cultural Marxism series, we're going to be discussing being punished for sins that you don't commit. What's in store?
Yeah, that is, and that's really a very interesting topic when you look at this, because again, in cultural Marxism, you're being assigned sins. And the question is simply this: when we actually get into Scripture, what does it say about being held responsible for sin? Can you be held responsible for the sin of another person? And there are some interesting words and wisdom from God on that matter.
Pastor Paul Dare is senior pastor at Zion Lutheran Church in Alexandria, Minnesota. He recently concluded a Bible study series on godless religion. Pastor Dare, thank you again for your time.
Todd, thank you.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on the rebuilding of the temple in Ezra and Nehemiah. Pastor Tom Baker will be our guest.
Built on the rock, children of the Heavenly Father, on my heart imprint your image, rejoice, rejoice, believers, and so much more. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2021 Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Northern Lights, Danish and Scandinavian hymns. Making the Case is Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zilch, Texas; Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon; Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania; Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida; Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota; Pilgrim Lutheran, Kilgore, Texas; Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho; St. Matthew Lutheran, Hawthorne Woods, Illinois; The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California; and Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.